Good morning. Man, it's good to see everyone. Amen. 1 Kings 2:3, that's where we're going to be this morning. 1 Kings 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Lord, help me with this morning. All right, so let's read. It says, we got the Christian English version this morning, so it's going to be a little bit different than probably some of your Bibles. 1 Kings 2:3 says, "Do what the Lord your God commands and follow his teachings. Obey everything written in the law of Moses, then you will be a success, no matter what you do or where you go." Everybody said amen. I found this very interesting. The title of this message is Biblical Success. So my question is, obviously, do you want to be biblically successful? And that word success is tossed around in many different ways. You know, do you want to have a successful marriage? Do you want to have a successful this or successful that or successful business? Or do you want to be a successful parent? Or do you want to be successfully financially? So that word success is a big, broad word. Okay, but this morning we're going to look at biblical success. Okay, so notice here in the scripture that David didn't tell his son to build up his kingdom with great armies or great wealth from other lands. You know, when King David was about to die, he gave his son Solomon this advice. And this is what he told him in this scripture in 1 Kings. Hang on, let's start over. Ready? I'm going to pray. I felt guilty about not praying. I thought I'd just skip right over it, but it got in my conscience and I can't let it go. So let's pray over the scripture and over the message. Amen? Father God, we love you and thank you, and I'm sorry for skipping over it. And I ask you to help me teach this morning. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, David's helping his son Solomon figure out what is success. Said the formula for biblical success was two things: follow God and obey him. Follow God and obey him. And it's still the same today. If you think about it, it's still the same today. Basically, follow Jesus and do what he says. So follow Jesus and obey him. And obey what? Jesus laid it down two times. He's talked about the great commandment and the great commission. Now the great commandment, we all know, right? Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then the Great Commission, we all know that, right? It's basically to go out and make disciples. And then encourage them and teach them how to obey Jesus. So it's two basic things there. Now when Solomon became king, he didn't ask the Lord for wealth and power. He asked God for wisdom and discernment so that he could help guide his people. And God was pleased with that, so God blessed Solomon with a wise heart. Wisest man who ever lived. Solomon took his father's advice and tried to help his people. Proverbs 3, chapter 1 through 4. Let's look at that. It says, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you." It says, "Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." So when he talks about writing them on the tablet of your heart, it's basically talking about learning scripture, you know, memorizing Bible verses so that hopefully you can take it from your brain to your heart. Once we take it from our brain to our heart, and in our heart it begins to direct our steps. Okay, it begins to teach us and guide us what to do and what not to do. So basically, Jesus just kind of restated this whole scripture and summed it up by encouraging us to love God and love people. That's really what it was about. So the first step in the process of accepting the free gift of Jesus Christ, that's the first part of becoming biblically successful. You got to get saved. You got to get born again. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. That's the first step of being biblically successful. When you accept the gift of salvation, that's when the transformation begins. And that's when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart and change us and make us, develop us, right, into the men and women that God wants us to be. This process is all about the Holy Spirit working in our life. How does he do that? Through prayer, Bible study, meditation, you know, in the Lord. Meditate on what the Lord's teaching us. This happens through us spending time with God and following him. Now, we're going to have trials in life. We're going to have trials in life, and we learn through the scripture that these trials are really helping develop our character. Okay, if we are walking with the Lord and we have, you know, that spiritual maturity start growing and growing, then those trials really, they don't really make us fail. We don't really fail. We're talking about success, right? So we don't really fail based on the trials that come to us. Okay, those trials, if we're walking with the Lord, help develop our character. And we learn about peace and about wisdom and about following direction. If we're walking with the Lord, we're following the Holy Spirit, and if we're studying the Bible and we're hanging out with Christian folks, then what's going to happen is this. We start obeying God just like we just talked about. We gain freedom. Everybody say freedom. We gain freedom. You know what we gain freedom from? The Bible calls it the curses of this world. We start to gain freedom from the curses of this world. Here's some of the curses of this world. And as we mature in Christ, we gain freedom from this. Hate, jealousy, addictions, confusion, inferiority complexes, don't let that one go over, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, selfishness, and many more. These are things that we can become free of whenever we really start growing in Christ. And as we grow and mature in Christ, we begin to think less of ourselves. And we begin to think more about others. Would you agree? As you've matured in Christ, it's not all about me, it's about others and what can we do with others. Our greatest joy becomes, what can we do for someone else? How can we help others? How can we help them grow? How can we help them prosper spiritually? This is all a part of the process of growing with the Lord and maturing in Christ. I've found, I can't speak for you guys, but I've found that I'm the happiest when I'm doing something for other people. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sitting home watching this TV or doing something or getting bored. What do you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. You know, all that kind of stuff. But I'm the happiest when I'm doing something for someone else. I'm serving someone. I'm giving something to someone or helping someone. Now, true biblical success is becoming a child of God and serving Him by serving others. That's really, truly biblical success. See, a person, we all know this, a person can have all the money, the power, the popularity, the prestige that the world can offer. But if a person is bitter, empty in their soul, all that worldly riches, all that worldly looking success is really a failure. And most of us are at the age we've seen that happen with people, right? They got all the money, all the prestige, all the power in the world, and if they don't have peace in their heart, it's really just all a failure. Matthew 16:26 says this: what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Now, as we serving God and as we're helping others, the Bible really talks a lot about us not giving up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on America. Don't give up on the things that God's put in your heart. Don't give up on your lost children or grandchildren. Don't give up. Wasn't it Churchill that said that? Never, ever give in. Never, never give up, basically. That we can, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You know, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And if God be for me, then who can be against me? Never give up. Now, the opposite of giving up is perseverance or endurance. Okay? When we persevere through difficulties, and I'm looking around, I see all kinds of folks who had difficulties and challenges, crisis, things like that. When we don't give up, we refuse to give up on really what God has called us to do. What God has called you in your individual life, what has He called you to do? Galatians 6:9 says this. Galatians 6:9 encourages us to never give up. Never give up. Here's what it says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen? Don't give up. Now, there's several factors, and I'm aware of the time here, but there's several factors that cause people to consider giving up. And let me try to fly through these real quickly. The first one is discouragement. Discouragement. God has a quick solution for that. God's solution for discouragement is the church. Our church family. We should be encouraging one another and building each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In Pauline Baptist Church, you're great at that. You're great at encouraging people. You want to have biblical success? Then be an encourager. Be an encourager. Think of ways to build people up. Look around in here. Think of ways, a week, just don't let a week go by that you don't send a text to someone or you send a card to someone or call someone. Just look around. Just anybody. Ask the Lord. I guarantee you He'll put people in your heart, especially in our church family. It could be someone at work. It could be your neighbor. It could be a family member who lives in Tupelo. Send them a text. Men, I'll give you a marriage secret. You ready? This is totally off the subject, but ladies, put fingers in your ears. Don't listen now. But men, don't do it today, but about a week from now, just text your wife, just this, nothing else. Whatever you call her, you know, you call her honey or sweetheart, or whatever you call her, you know, horsefly, I don't know, whatever you call her. But text her this. They say, honey, you ready? I'm crazy about you. Do it, man. Just text that, honey, I'm crazy about you. Ooh, you might get your back scratched that night. You know what I mean? I'm going to let a back scratch. Come on. Hey, man. Might have extra biscuit. That sounds very sexist, don't it? Like, anyway, sorry. Ladies? No, I don't text that to you, man. But don't text that to your husband. Think of ways, creative ways to encourage each other. Amen. All right. Another thing that can stumble people up and make them feel like giving up is pride. Pride is another fact. It's another factor that can cause us to want to give up. Proverbs 16:18 says this, God has warned us that pride goes before the fall. Sometimes when people fall, everybody listen, sometimes when people fall, their pride is wounded. You know, we all fall. We all make mistakes. We all stumble right flat on our face. No pun intended, Beth. But, right? So, bless your heart. But sometimes our pride gets wounded, and we just want to give up. We just want to say, forget it. And they just give up. And they don't try again. If you fall, get up. Try it again. Brush your pants off and keep going. If you stumble and fall, get up and keep trying. Sometimes we fall and it's real embarrassing because a lot of people see you and know about it. Our pride at that point, if we're not careful, can cause us to really just give up and just walk away and never go back. The shoe fits, right? So be careful of that pride. Now, sometimes the pride can make us feel like, other words, you get your feelings hurt. You get your feelings hurt, and you just want to run and hide. We all have to be careful of that. That can make us give up. You get your feelings hurt. Here's something I've learned. Honestly, feelings can't get hurt. We talk about that a lot in counseling. Your feelings can't get hurt. It's really our ego that feels the pain. I'm going to preach on that one later, so get your steel-toed boots on when I'm working on that message. It's really our ego that feels the pain. I'm just pausing because I want you to really think about this and pray about this. Oh, he hurt my feelings. Oh, she hurt my feelings. Forget it. I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to pick up my toys and go home. We'll talk about that one later on. But it's really our ego, and ego is EGO. In the counseling world, we call that edging God out. When your ego starts getting puffed up, you start edging God out. He's more of me now. Want me. It's all about me. So we'll come to that one. So be careful of pride, because that can make you just throw in the towel. Give up. Write them off. I shun you. Be done. So be very careful about that one. The last one is exhaustion. Exhaustion can also lead to giving up. And this is the sneaky one. This is the one that can really sneak up on you and catch you off guard. I was hoping there'd be a couple folks in here that might need to hear this, so maybe they'll watch the YouTube video. If we don't pace ourselves and set healthy boundaries, we can become mentally and spiritually and socially exhausted. And when this happens, you just simply quit. Be careful of this one. Those of us who are in the helping ministries or the helping professions, or you're the kind of person who loves to help people, which is great, but you're the most vulnerable to getting exhausted and burn out and just tired. There's needy people everywhere. There is, right? So we have to be careful. We have to pray and be wise about it. It helps to remember that we cannot, everybody say cannot, we cannot give to others what we don't possess ourselves. If you're giving, and you're burn out, you have nothing else to give. Amen? I had a counselor, I do clinical supervision for counselors around all over, and I had one ask me this week, Dallas, you've been doing this 28 years, man, in and out, drug and alcohol counselor, day in and day out, death, addiction, drugs, and some success too, though, you know. But it's a very, you know, it beats you down. It's like, how you been able to do this for 28 years? And I gave him a very spiritual answer. I take all my vacation time. I used to be that guy who took a lot of pride in, oh man, I got 179 days of vacation built up. Because I'm tough and I can take it and I can stick in there and I don't need that vacation time. That's pride. It'll catch up with you, won't it? You need to take time off. And that's what I do. I get 4 weeks vacation with Penfield and I take every single one of them. Lynn and I do. There's nothing holy or righteous or strong or any of that manly stuff. Well, a lot of times we women do get in that too sometimes. You know? Take your time off. Self-care is very important. Take care of yourself. You want to have biblical success? You must take care of yourselves. People with young children. Handful. Make sure you take some time to go do something fun for yourself. Don't fall for that spiritual pride. It's like, I love my babies and I want to be around them all the time. I just love my babies. Sure you do. But physically, emotionally, spiritually, you need some time away at the appropriate times. I'm looking at all the mothers in here. I know you feel that way, but you need some time. Okay? You need some time to go on a date. Let grandma and grandpa on. Keep the kids. Lynn and I, we love to babysit. Call us up sometimes. Hey, can we drop the kids off at y'all? Or can y'all come over to our house? I didn't clear this with Lynn yet, but. We would love to. Lil works at a nursery. She loves a nursery. We'd love to come over to your house and, you know, and you and your husband, or you go somewhere and just do something for 2 or 3 hours, no more than 4, but, and go do something with one another. Take care of yourself. Take care of your marriage. Take some time to do that. A lot of folks take care of the elderly. They take care of the terminally ill. Make sure you take time to take care of yourself. Amen? Watch out for that exhaustion. And for those who are in the helping ministries, it's so important that they stay immersed in their relationship with God. Very important they stay connected with Jesus in a healthy, healthy way, because they need that spiritual power, that spiritual energy to be able to help others. Can't give it, right? Unless you keep it away. Those kind of things. So you got to be able to stay connected. Jesus gives us a perfect example of this, and I'm almost closing. Didn't he? Jesus was always ministering and teaching and helping others and healing the sick and all that. But yet he took time to get away with his Father. while it was still dark, Jesus went to spend time in prayer. I love that. It's probably where the Navy SEALs got that from, didn't they? Special forces get up real early and go spend some time praying and exercising, those kind of things. Don't give up. Don't give up. Nehemiah never gave up on the construction of the Jerusalem wall. He faced fierce opposition, but he did not give up. Caleb never gave up on the promise of God. He's fighting his battles and taking over those lands at 85 years old. Jesus persevered all the way to the cross. Thank God he didn't give up. So don't give up, Paul. Hebrews 12:3 has said something about that. It's very interesting. It said, consider him, and he's talking about Jesus, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you, he's talking about me and you, will not grow weary and lose heart. So in other words, when you think it's getting rough and you think life's getting tough, the scripture here is encouraging us to remember Jesus and what he did. What he did for us. Now, he didn't give up. He went all the way. Even though he kind of was thinking at one point, like, well, I don't know if I can do this or not. You know, remember Jesus said, Father, if there's any way I can get out of this one, you know. But he quickly said, not his will, but his Father's will. If we give up too soon, we might lose out on what God has planned for us and through us. You never know what God's plan is, really, what he wants to do in your life. So don't give up. If you want to have biblical success, then do what God commands and follow his teachings. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus to give you strength, courage, and the heart of a lion. Here's the truth, really. You have the lion of the tribe of Judah living on the inside of you. He has already given you everything to be biblically successful. Amen? So if you want to be biblically successful, here it is. Give your life to Christ. Repent of your sins, study your Bible, hang around like-minded believers, and serve God by serving people. It's that simple. Amen. Do you know him this morning? Do you know Jesus? If not, you can ask him into your life right now. Just believe that he died on the cross for your sins. Amen. God raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We love you. If there's one here this morning that needs to get saved, I just pray that they will answer that call. In Jesus' name, amen.